In Larouk, a town next to Lake Baringo, I had met a man named Wesley Jeptomo, who complained that apart from a Red Cross team that had arrived to take photos of the flooding, no one had come to help. Near Lake Victoria, the motorbike taxi driver had told me that residents had seen my car and thought I was Raila, a popular Kenyan politician, someone here to help them at last. Their disappointment on discovering that I was a freelance journalist must have been deep. The morning after my initial meeting with Okeo in Marigat, I'd taken a boat ride at Kampi Yasamaki, a fishing center on the shores of Lake Baringo. The sun, just risen, filtered its rays through thin gray clouds. Everywhere there were birds. From the top of one tree, an eagle dived into the water and emerged with a fish in its beak. On the tips of other trees, long-tailed cormorants, Madagascan bee-eaters, and kingfishers perched, looking for food. The boat operator, Evans Limo, pointed out buildings that were in the water. Here, some houses. There, the local health center. Some churches. Ostriches, which had been kept as pets by a hotel that was now half submerged, roamed around the dry parts of the hotel's grounds. Most disturbing were the tall trees that stood inside the lake, brown and leafless. Almost everywhere I went, it was the dead trees that haunted me. Inside Dunga Hill Camp, a popular picnic site next to Lake Victoria, pools of water surrounded jacaranda trees that were planted in the colonial era. When alive and in bloom, these trees are crowded with heavy cones of purple blossoms, each flower a violet bell. Now, though, they were drab and brown. Seagulls and herons took off from their dying branches. About 110 miles east of Lake Victoria, in Lake Nakaru National Park, I saw a forest that had been swallowed by the lake. Its once green acacia trees were being slowly suffocated by the water, which has pushed beyond the bounds of the park into Nakuru City. A decade ago, in an earlier visit, I had climbed to the top of the Menengai crater that overlooks the city and peered down at Lake Nakuru. Then all around, the green of a lush forest that hid lions, buffalo, leopards and other animals. But by the time of my most recent visit, the lake had pushed its way through the forest. The animals had moved to still dry parts of the forest, but the water continued to move. The inhabitants were doomed. I looked down at the drowned giant acacias and bamboo. A ranger, who accompanied me, pointed out to me the houses of the Kenya Wildlife Service staff. I couldn't see anything. "Where?" I asked him. He pointed again. They were completely submerged.